What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And we're back, and we're brought to you as always by Sprott Money. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money this year, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. Silver is currently one of the most affordable ways for new investors to begin building a precious metals portfolio. It's not just gold seeing gains. A lot of metals are seeing gains as well. Use the promo code PUCKSON7, $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T Money.ca. It is a week till Christmas Eve. You done your shopping? Okay, moving on. Coming up on the show.
And it's fine, and I'm excited, and I have a lot of nice, fun family events and friend events coming up. And I'm actually relatively prepared. You know me. I'm not going to leave anything to the last minute. It's still when people say a week before. Somebody mentioned 10 days before Christmas. Well, 10 days before Christmas. And I was like, what? It just seemed that we lost the first half of December, and a lot going on in the NHL, and I think that's part of it.
Tons. When I was doing the hot stove in the weekend, we had Brent Wallace on, who does a podcast covering the Sens. And I said, hey, we got, 10, 12 days till Christmas? He said, what? Really? I got to go shopping. So anyway, I reminded everybody that they had to do that. Okay, tons going on in the NHL. The Rangers, what is happening with them? Molly Walker will join us later on. New York Post, she's actually at practice. She'll join us as they get set to take on the Nashville Predators. That, to me, Vic, is a game that if they lose to Nashville, I mean, fire the whole team. I know they can't do that. We'll go west in a second as well. What a game that was between Edmonton and the Florida Panthers, a rematch of the Stanley Cup Final. But let's begin in the east. Not good news for the Maple Leafs. It seemed okay when Anthony Stolarz left their game against Anaheim. Tweaked the knee. Craig Berube said, day to day, we'll get him on the ice soon. We'll see how it feels. Now, Vic, 4 to 6 weeks, he's out. And he's having surgery to remove a bit.
I think he already had the surgery to remove the bit, but the philosophy is the same. And the meaning is the same. I don't even know why I'm smiling. This is just crappy news all around.
What's wrong with you? Like, really? Vic enjoys people getting injured.
No.
And having surgery.
Doing the video has been programmed in a different way these days. Yeah. But it is. It's really unfortunate news. It's unfortunate news, obviously, for the Maple Leafs. It's unfortunate news, again, for hockey. Whenever you lose somebody in the game who's playing supremely well, and Anthony Stolarz was playing better than most, pretty much everybody other than two other goaltenders. So it is really unfortunate. It also a little out of the blue, as you just mentioned. We heard, this is just going to be a temporary thing. Not that bad. Everybody kept on echoing within the Leafs organization. And now all of a sudden he went under the knife, had something removed, and 4 to 6 weeks, Joseph Woll, Ryan, better be up to the task, because it can't be Hildeby all the time. He needs to sub in here and there, because he's still an AHL goaltender, still figuring it out. This is Joseph Woll's team right now, and he better be up to it.
It is. And let's hope we don't have to wonder about Woll going forward. That one was 3:15 in. So that's it. No more in the next however long we're doing it. Here's the thing with Stolarz. Number
I'm
one, he's a
big to that.
I know. It's not gonna happen. He's 6'6", big guy, 250.
Yeah.
So it's not just 6'6", you know, maybe 210. He's a big boy. And he's had surgeries before, multiple surgeries on his knees. Both knees are not great. Here's what I think happened. When he did tweak that after that goal by Anaheim, he finished the rest of the frame, I believe, then went off and then didn't come out for the rest of the game. I think after a couple of days, they thought, we need to clean this up now, because if we get him back at some point, then what if he completely tears the knee or something really bad happened and he's gone for the season? So that's why I think they didn't rush into this, but it's still tough. It's a tough one because he's been playing. He's been playing fantastic.
That is the more sensible approach.
It is.
It's just, again, it was a little jarring. We literally got this news about 10 minutes before we started our podcast. We should mention, what is it, December 17th? About lunchtime?
It's the week before Christmas Eve.
That's right.
I've already told the listeners that it's a week before the 24th. Bah, humbug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, hopefully he'll get back at some point. The Leafs playing well, but now it's Joseph Wall's net, and I'm with you. You can't rely on Hill to be. You got to go Wall all the way here till Stolarz does get back. The Buffalo Sabres, I think, are done. I've said this for weeks that they're done. Now the owner comes to meet them and talk to them. They have not won in 10 games. Lindy Ruff says it's all on me. It's a disaster. It's a mess. I'm not surprised whatsoever. I don't know what this meeting is going to do going forward for Buffalo.
Well, I don't think it's a negative thing.
No, it's not a negative thing. But what good is it going to do? What's the owner going to say that the coach and everyone
all
else
right.
hasn't
if
said
this
to the
has
team?
But if this has been a mental case, which I think it has been largely, because I know you and I are not exactly on the same page, but I will insist until the ends of time that this is a talented hockey team.
Yeah, okay? I know.
All right. So, and they should be playing. They should not win. They shouldn't lose 10 in a row like they just have. And I know some in overtime. It doesn't matter. They lost 10 in a row. Okay. They're better than that. So when you have the owner come in and say, listen, you don't need to worry about players being shipped out. You don't need to worry about me firing the coach who has only been there for a very short period of time. I know this is not Lindy Ruff's first turn in Buffalo, but it is his first turn now. So you're not going to fire him either. Settle down a little bit. Try and get your heads around matters. I don't know what else to say. What else can you say? I mean, they've lost a lot of close contests.
They have.
Defensively, they've just been poor. They haven't been able to buy a win when they've been ahead. There was a very interesting stat the other day that I heard, and I can't remember where, and I apologize to whoever said it. They have scored, so they have taken the lead so many times early in games, more than any other team with such a record, right? And blown leads. They have no finish.
Yeah.
That's what leads me to believe that this is emotional and mental. Because if you can win a first period, and if you can win a first and a second period, you should be able to win the whole game. What, are they tired?
No.
So it's mental, it's emotional.
Yeah, no, I agree. But it also goes to show you they're not a good team, because good teams do not let this happen. Good teams will come back and good teams will fight. So yeah, we're on different pages with this. Certainly, I don't want to see any team go winless in 10. It's not good. We'll see what Buffalo does going forward. Ottawa
is not
making
the playoffs.
No, they're not. There's no chance.
I waved the flag on them last week, and I continue to wave the flag. But I'd still like them to pull something positive out of the next few months, if only because Sabres fans deserve that at minimum.
Right. I agree. Okay, Buffalo, start winning games. Maybe just one. You got to start winning one before you can win two. I believe that's true. Yes.
Ottawa. It is.
We discussed a lot about this. I know we've chatted off and on throughout the podcast about the three teams in that Eastern Conference, Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa. Kind of those three, one of those three, all three going to take steps in the right direction this season. Who do we think? And I think most of us have agreed, okay, Ottawa was going to do that over the course of the season before, and now they certainly are. This team, Vic, is very tough to play against. I've said it time and time again. They're playing well. They're getting goaltending. Brady Tkachuk is just a beast. I love what I'm seeing in Ottawa.
Okay, we love what we're seeing in Ottawa right now. We didn't much care for what we saw in Ottawa 3 weeks ago. So let's clarify that, because now it's sounding like we have incredible short-term memories. I want to ask you something. Ullmark has been incredible. Is this on him, or is it on more of the collective, the team performance at large?
What do you mean, is it on him? Is this
because
is the
he's
reason
been
why
fantastic?
So the reason why they're playing better is just because of him? Is
Are
that
we
what you're asking?
At one guy?
No.
Okay.
No. We're looking at a few. Batherson's been great.
Yeah, he's red hot. Yeah.
Timmy Stützle has been phenomenal. Loved him when he came in the NHL. I think he's underrated, very underrated. And
as
a
playmaker, he definitely
absolutely.
Is.
And Allmark is a huge difference. And you can say whatever you want about any team in the league. It comes down to goaltending. That's the last line of defense. And Ottawa has not had a goalie in quite some time. They've gone back and forth to different ones. I mean, for years it was Craig Anderson. Mm-hmm. Like he was decent. But now it's a Vezina Trophy winning goaltender who is behind a team that is – what I love about them is that they play tough. Every single night they play tough. Led by Kachuk. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a cumulative effort. It really is defensively, but the top six is doing well. But certainly Allmark is a huge reason why they're playing the
this
way that they're
playing. This is my only concern about this because mm-hmm. he 36 saves in a tight win against Nashville, 32 saves against Carolina, 31 saves against Anaheim. These are all wins. He's won six of his last seven.
So you're saying he's working too much for the wins.
That's my only minor concern because he's still one guy. And if this success is on his shoulders, again, it's just food for thought, but I am enjoying. I think that they're playing better all around as well. But I think Allmark has been spectacular of late.
Yeah.
And you can't rely on your goaltender to be spectacular for weeks and weeks on end. If Ottawa has a shot at this, mm-hmm. and people now think they do, then it has to be more than just the guy who's playing. First of all, he can't play every night either.
Right.
And he played in an emergency one the other night when he wasn't even supposed to be scheduled, and he pulled that one out of the fire. So that's my only concern.
Different than last season because he was with Swayman and they split things down the middle, but now it's Allmark's net in Ottawa.
We're going to find out what this guy's made of in
He'll
terms
be
of
absolutely
endurance.
Fine. He'll be fine. Speaking of Boston, David Pastrnak, and you have it down here, pasta comes alive. I love pasta. I can have that every day for lunch and maybe dinner, breakfast.
Too many carbs for me.
I know. So he scored a goal in only two of the previous 13 games, and now he's showing signs of not only playing that, but he's getting the scoring touch back. He's too good of a player to be off the score sheet, so this is good for anyone to see. Pasta fan, Boston fan, NHL fan.
He played the best game of the season against Vancouver in Vancouver.
In Vancouver.
So after the team laid an absolute egg in Seattle the previous game, he came out and I think it was one goal and three assists, not in front of me, but it's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But his all-around game, he looked like David Pastrnak again. And this is somebody who we had in the early conversations for all the scoring titles, the goal scoring title. He was, an outsider looking in the heart conversation. This has been one of those players that is a top 10. He finished second in goals to Connor McDavid two seasons ago, and seventh in scoring last year. It's been such a dip. So it was nice. And we're not Bruins fans here. And we're not, this is an objective podcast. Everybody knows what we root for the Leafs, but we're also going to just tell the truth.
We do.
But it's nice to see one of the better players. I know it's one game, but you need,
doesn't matter.
What did you just say? You need one game to get going. Yeah. And I liked what he said afterwards. He goes, I'm a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. I haven't been scoring this season. To be honest, I haven't been getting the looks, but I feel like I am. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't exactly say that, but that was the gist of it. So look out for Boston if this guy gets hot again, because he's one of the better players.
He's a goal scorer, except when he goes to the coach and says, can I fight Matthew Tkachuk? Because he's asking me to fight him.
You're still thinking about that, eh?
I do, yeah. Because it's just, anyway, we don't have time.
I'm not a fan of it, though.
I know.
You know that.
The Panthers, what a game that was against Edmonton. This was going into that game. First of all, the Panthers hadn't scored in two before. They lost 3-0 and 4-0 on the West Coast trip. So they hadn't scored in two games, which is odd. Edmonton's been playing great hockey. And then this game was back and forth. Edmonton up 4-2. The Panthers took the 5-4 lead. Then Edmonton came back. And then the Panthers ended up winning 6-5. It was awesome to me. I'm 50-50 between, is this a devastating loss? Not devastating.
No.
Is this a worse of a loss for Edmonton than it is a big win for the Florida Panthers?
Nah, it's just a big fun game. Not exactly a goaltending duel, but good teams have games like this. And I think both sides going into, again, a rematch from the Stanley Cup final, as we mentioned.
Yeah.
I think they're just jazzed. I love the Florida Panthers for this very fact that they, coming off a couple of duds, and there's all this talk about how the Oilers are the best team in the league, which you can very easily argue that they are right now.
Okay,
but you can argue it, Ryan. It's not outrageous.
But not easily.
Okay. deep breath. Carry on. That's deep.
Christmas is soon. Christmas is soon.
Is cocktail hour soon? All right.
It's somewhere. Yes. Carry on.
What time is it, Ryan? Anyway, yes. And the fact that the Panthers walk into this game and go, all right, you crazy surging Oilers, we're going to show you what we got. Yeah. Just like we did. Well, I mean, it was a great series, but just like we got the better of you eventually last June. I love it. I love this about this
team. Too.
I really do. And that was a fun hockey game. I didn't care who won. And that was a fun hockey game to watch.
So the goal that Reinhardt scored when he beat Ekholm on the right side, and then he was basically on parallel with the red line.
It went off his face or his head, the side of his head?
And so, side of the head. So then the goalie takes off his mask. It was Skinner, I believe, right?
Skinner, it was Skinner, yes.
So he takes off the mask, and all the shot is him kind of rubbing his head. So no one realized that, did he actually mean to do that? I don't know. But I don't take that away from anyone who tries that. And with Sam Reinhardt's capability, I think he absolutely 100% meant to do that, and it worked out. Anyway, it was a great game.
I'm surprised you're a fan of it.
Why?
Because it wasn't nice.
And no. Like those are slap shots. Those are slap shots. Within
puck off the head on purpose is okay.
But it was a chip shot. It was just that little, it was a pitching wedge. It wasn't a one iron from the fairway.
I'm glad Skinner is okay, because I still think that's going to ring your bell a little bit. So, but it was certainly an entertaining goal.
It was. Now, you want to talk about, and I'll certainly back this up as well, but the Islanders and Patrick Waugh going into their game tonight against the Canes. This is a big one for the Isles.
Brief summary here. Okay, so they almost blew a lead to Chicago in the first of a home-and-home. Okay, they were up 5-1 in the third period and almost blew it. But they pulled out the 5-4 win, but honestly almost didn't. Patrick Waugh loses his mind afterwards, deservedly, as far as we're concerned. We actually talked about this on Friday.
We did.
And that's fine. So then you're expecting now the head coach is steamed up and calls you out publicly in embarrassing fashion. I thought the Islanders, whatever they've got going on, and they get Matt Barzal back, they get Pelech back, and they come back to play the same Chicago Blackhawks again in a home and home with a couple days off in between back in Chicago, the rebuilding Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, Ryan?
Yeah.
So this is... To me right now, is Patrick Waugh going to lose his job? I don't know. But this is a tough test against the Canes, who they actually, a better team than the Islanders, all right? Altogether, a better team, but a team that they beat, I think it was 10 days ago.
Yes, you're right. So, you're correct.
Now you have to take advantage of this opportunity to back up and show your coach, no, We're not lazy. We're not scrambling. We're not disorganized. We're not going to give up with 10 minutes left in the third period, right? This is a show me. This is a show me game as far as I'm concerned. And I don't necessarily think they have to win, Ryan, but they have to really give it a good go.
The effort has to be there.
Yes.
What's going on with the New York teams? Giving up. The Rangers giving up. They're not coming back. The Islanders, same thing. The only way Patrick Waugh's going to get let go is because he and Lou Lamoriello don't see eye to eye. And I know that they don't. They're not on the same page. To be honest, I don't know whoever in his hockey career has been on the same page as Patrick Waugh. I'm not, that's not a diss to him.
He marches his own beat. Yeah,
he's out there. He's his own. That's fine, whatever. But I just don't think there's been any point. I do too. And you know what? You think about this. Carolina, I think, has two games in hand on the Isles. And is at this point you start to talk about games in hand? I don't know. I just did. But I think they're they're 8 points back of Carolina right now. So if the Isles get two, then that's 33. They're 6 points back. I'm just saying, this is an even more massive game, not just to show Waugh that they can play, but also get those
points. They can't score and they can't. And Sorokin's not goaltending right now, so I don't think it's going to make a difference long term. But we'll see. You can never count out the Islanders because they're that pesky team later in the season that just string together a bunch of wins, teases their fan base once more, and gets knocked out in the first round of the West.
Sorry.
One last note about the state of... Go ahead.
Buffalo or New York? No, go ahead.
Yes, them too.
I know.
One last note about the state of sports in the Buffalo of New York. In the Buffalo of New York. In the state of New York. Goodness gracious, Victoria. The New York Jets in the NFL. The New York Giants in the NFL.
I know.
The three hockey teams in the NHL. How are the Knicks doing? I don't even know. Are they winning?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
So other people can look that up. But I'm just saying, if you're NFL and an NHL fan in the great state of New York, you are not having a good time right now.
No, you're not.
Root for the Devils. They're doing all right.
Yeah, something. And that's not the most evil thing to do in the world, too, if you root for the Devils in this case.
Not in this case.
No. The Hart Trophy, a lot of people have talked about Kirill Kaprizov, deservingly so. He's having a great campaign. Jack Eichel is having a great campaign. And then, of course, McDavid down the road, he'll probably be in the conversation, all that stuff. Very quietly, and I've said this since he's come into the league, all Nikita Kucherov does is put on a show. Nikita Kucherov, to me, is the twin of Pavel Datsyuk. I and you remember watching Pavel Datsyuk, a magician. He was called a magician the other day. I forget who they play, but it was the opposing coach who called him a magician. He's magical. There's not many players in the league that are magical. I think he's more, he's close to as magical as McDavid. I just think with whatever he does with the puck, it comes so easily to him because he's so talented. Do we need to put him in the Hart conversation right now?
So this is what I was looking at to inspire this conversation. He has 46 points. He's four behind Nathan MacKinnon, who we're going to get to when we talk about the West.
Oh, thank goodness.
Tampa Bay Lightning have only played 26 games. Colorado Avalanche have played 33 games.
All right, so that's seven more.
They have some catching up to do, and he's on fire right now. I'm just saying he's not. He can't be ruled out of the conversation. I know we're all over Kirill with the Wild, deservedly.
Yeah.
MacKinnon's always going to be. You just said all this, okay?
Yeah.
But at the same time, we do have to give him a little bit of credit. One quick tangent, quick. In their prime, who would you rather on your hockey team, Datsyuk or Kucherov?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. I'd take half and half. No. I would... the game's changed a bit. You put Datsyuk in the league now? I would say Pavel Datsyuk.
I'm going to take Kucherov, so...
Okay, good. We can agree to disagree. Kucherov last season...
But they're both very good options.
Oh, unbelievable. 144 points the season before... 113 points. Now he's 46 in 26. I don't know what that averages out to be over the course of an 82-game season, but I believe that's a little bit, maybe even more so, over 100. Last one before we hit the West. And don't forget, Molly Walker's going to join us, New York Post. We'll dive into the Rangers. We haven't even touched that because we're going to save that for Molly when she comes on. Alex Ovechkin is traveling with the Capitals. You have circled dates in your calendar before Christmas. This is my whole point in this. There's 7 days till Christmas Eve. We got eight till Christmas Day. It's tight. He's traveling, which again is another step there.
Why would he travel with the team? Why?
Because he wants to be around the team.
Because he wants to be around. He also hasn't participated in practice in a non-contact jersey yet. In a full contact jersey yet. So they still have to hurdle that. I'm never ruling this guy out. I had the 20th against Carolina Circle. That's Friday. It ain't happening. But it would still be neat to see him before. It's not happening now, but at least now we can look forward to he's going to be back imminently. If it's after the Christmas break, oh well.
I think it'll be after.
Probably.
Yeah. Right now, by the way, Kucherov, if I did this correctly, he's on pace for 130 plus points.
Are you saying no? I'm not saying no.
Anything's possible.
He had six the other night.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he had a good week. He had a good week in one game. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go west. We'll talk Draisaitl, MacKinnon, Thatcher Demko, Bedard, Celebrini. And then Molly Walker after that will dive back into the New York Rangers. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you as always by Sprock.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And we're back, and we are brought to you, as always, by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts, so we're excited to team up with Sprott Money. Since 2008, they've been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Use promo code PUCKSAND7. $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T, money.ca. Or give them a call. Vic loves the phone calls. 1-888.
I do.
You do. 861-0775. Molly Walker in about 20 minutes, and we'll go into the New York Rangers. She was at practice today ahead of their game against Nashville. We've got the latest on what the heck is going on in New York. Let's go west. We talked a bit in the first segment about that great game between the Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. And everybody says, oh, the Oilers and every team in the league is going to go only as far as, say, their goaltending will take them in the postseason. But Edmonton's lucky because they really don't need to be great in goal because they have Leon and McDavid. McDavid's been great since he's come back. Leon's doing his thing. You mentioned about who would I have, Datsyuk or Kucherov. If I had a pick, throw in Leon. I think I'd have Leon. To me, is almost more like Datsyuk than Kucherov is like Datsyuk.
Oh, I think he's a very different player. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah,
I think they do different things.
Do me a favor when we're done, and I think I mentioned to you this to you before. Look at the blade on Draisaitl's stick. Compare that to the blade on Datsyuk's stick. That's all I'm gonna say.
I still think I will still maintain they're different players, but we'll take this to the mat off air at some other time.
Oh boy.
The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mm-hmm. 6 goals mm-hmm. in 6 games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 assists in those same 6 games.
Yeah.
You don't need to be good at math to know that adds up to a bucket load of points.
First star of the week, too.
And deservedly so. Mm-hmm. And a large reason that the Oilers are winning right now. However, not the only reason the Oilers are winning right now. They are, again, getting that collective effort from the rest of the team, especially down their bottom six, which is contributing again. It hadn't for a little while, but we did see contribute last spring. I'll say this over and over and over again. When the bottom six is going, this team is very, very difficult to beat. When Stuart Skinner is playing some pretty good goaltending in net. Yes, give them the mulligan against a very jazzed Florida Panthers team. That's fine. You're going to have
those
games.
The mulligan goes back to what I said about using a pitching wedge that Reinhardt did, and I was fine with it. There was everything nice about that. He could have wound up and use the one iron.
I'm still trying to digest Ryan Payton being fine with somebody scoring off somebody's head, but you know.
It was a chip shot. Anyway.
I love the fact this is going to bother you for
there's
days
one,
now.
Yeah, I want to. Can I mute you, please? I want to talk, to your point about the bottom six and the bottom six on any team, that's so key, and especially with Edmonton, because they're top heavy, obviously, with the guys like Draisaitl. When Hyman gets going, Hyman's there, Nugent Hopkins, etc. The one guy who on the back end who's been really impressing me lately, Darnell Nurse. Don't ever bug the guy again for signing that contract. You and I would have signed it as well. I know he didn't play as well in the postseason, but
never going to knock a player for taking money that's offered to them.
No, no, no. But
a million years.
The point is that people say, "Oh, he doesn't deserve this. He doesn't." Okay, enough. Hockey, it's tough. It's not easy. It's tough. Anyway, I think what he's doing, he's playing with confidence.
Yes.
And on the back end, that is extra special right now for Edmonton.
Well, I mean, taking the extra 2-minute minor for yelling at the refs last night was a bit of a dumb move. But other than that, he's been doing a lot.
That's not nice. That is not nice. That's on the naughty list.
It is. It wasn't. That wasn't very smart. Also, credit where it's due. We just said last night wasn't great, but Stuart Skinner's numbers have been a lot better lately as well. So we're going to see with Draisaitl and the Oilers. Let's see if they can keep this up, because this is what we're used to seeing from the Oilers later on in the season, second half, whatever onwards, or last two thirds. So it'll be interesting to see where they finally settle in their division. When all is said and done.
And it seems like they're following almost the same pattern as last season. They haven't fired the coach, but they started off worse last year. They started off poorly this year. Then all of a sudden, the team gets back.
I wonder
to doing
why.
The...
I really
it's,
wonder.
It's odd. Why... It's odd. It's
why
odd.
Do you
I think
suck in October.
I think
and
they
November?
Only got.
Like,
yeah, they only got the schedule in December. They missed October and November, so NHL forgot to give them those first couple of months.
Now watch the win one game in February, just to flip the script.
Of course. The Avalanche doing their thing. Again, they've made some goaltending changes, which is something they needed to do. So we'll see how this goes, too, going in the Central Division as time goes on here through the next number of games to get to the 82. Nate MacKinnon, my man, 50 points, 33 games, 13 goals, 37 assists. We've talked about Leon. He's great. And other guys doing their thing in Kucherov. But Nate MacKinnon, he's the engine that runs that train, Vic.
The first to 50, and I think that's what caught my attention the most, because we check stats every morning to see what people are doing and all the rest. And to see the 50 for the first time this season, and we're only midway through December. Yes, he has played more games than, we should mention this, than Leon and Kirill and Nikita Kucherov, which we talked about in the first segment. But again, you got to give credit where it's due, and 50 points already at this point. And he is... all the credit to what Makar provides on that blue line.
No.
It seems that Colorado finally has solved some goaltending issues through their new tandem affair.
Yeah.
But without Nathan MacKinnon and Rantanen, who again probably doesn't get enough attention as well. He's also he's always the guy who's like top five, six, seven, who never talk about.
No one talks about him. Who? Is he still playing? 50 points. You mentioned that he had 140 last year. We mentioned Kucherov's numbers; they're ridiculous. McKinnon had 111 the year before in 71 games.
Really good. The good are really, really good.
51 goals last year for Nate McKinnon. Thatcher Demko is back. I know that I wasn't too happy about his first performance back. You gave him mulligan, a lot of golf theme in this podcast. We'll get to him in a second. Anytime you have a last name or a first name that has anything to do directly or indirectly with the game of hockey, I'm a fan of his. And Kiefer Sherwood.
He I was is wondering Nate. Where you were going with this.
Okay. I know you were. I was looking up today. Does anyone use a wooden stick? Nobody does. I have a wooden stick somewhere. Sherwood was a huge name.
I actually use a wooden stick, yes.
The other night, if you would have said to me that the fans would have chanted Kiefer Sherwood in the arena, I would have said, no. Come on. Really? No. No, I don't. Come on. Great. What a night for him. And it was awesome.
Okay. It was a big time game, too. And it was one that they needed. Right?
Yeah, they did.
One quick note. Demko was good, Ryan. He wasn't just okay. He was good. So we gave him a pass for the first game, second game, but he was really good in this game.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sherwood scored. It was such a variety. He scored the even strength goal. He scored one of the most beautiful shorthanded goals I've ever seen. He stripped your man, took the puck off your man's stick, Nathan McKinnon, who then couldn't catch up to him, and he scored a gorgeous, but it was Ryan. It was beautiful. We can give credit. Okay.
It was
beautiful. And then he got the empty netter at the end. So there was a lot happening for Kiefer Sherwood. And when asked after the game, how did you feel listening to the Canucks fans chant your name? You could just see it in his face.
Oh,
it's not
a
day
thing.
Made. It's not week made.
No,
it's season made.
Yeah.
And
11 goals in the first 30 games. And he's on that 2-year deal at $1.5 million per. That's a steal at the moment. Will it continue? It doesn't matter. We love you and I both love these things. We talk about all these stories in the league and some of the bad ones too that we're trying to figure out, but we love these feel good ones. And
he
that
was already
awesome
starting.
One.
He's already been playing well. It was just nice to have a little bit of a showcase game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that was a showcase. So we passed American Thanksgiving, and that is when a lot of people do think, okay, that's when we're going to figure out who's who and what teams are going to be there at the end, the eight representing the West, the eight in the East, all that type of stuff. If you look at the teams right now in that Western Conference, you have the top four teams, the Jets, Wild, Vegas, and the LA Kings. Is that the 1-4 interchanging between the teams that we're going to see in the West, and then 5-8 is going to be decided?
I am not ruling out the Dallas Stars.
Okay. You can't.
I'm not ruling out the Edmonton Oilers.
You can't. Keep going.
You know, even the Canucks in Colorado. So I want to change paths here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The top four in the Central right now and the top four in the Pacific right now. Yes. Jets, Wild, Stars, Avalanche, Knights, Kings, Oilers, Canucks.
Right.
That is how I see. I'm not saying particularly which order they are in.
So you've got the eight teams. The eight teams are set for you.
I'm favoring it. It's not like I don't like some other teams having a shot. There's always those conversations to have. Kraken always do something interesting. Like, who
knows, always a
right?
chance. That's why I play 82
but
games.
But if you're
always
asking me, you're giving me $10, Mr. Ryan Payton, and you're asking me to lay it down right now on the top four in the Central and the top four in the Pacific, those are my top four in each division right now. Again, I'm not, I don't know which order.
The top three in the Pacific, and then we'll move on. Vegas has won 7 of their last 10. The Kings have won 8 of their last 10. Edmonton's won 8 of their last 10. Those are the top three teams right now in that Pacific division.
And Vancouver isn't playing badly either.
No, they're not. No,
and now
they
have Demko back, which we just talked about, looking a little bit like Demko again. So maybe he feels right. So look out.
Connor Bedard, one of the huge talents in the game. And I remember when he was left off the Canada team for the Four Nations. He was interviewed, I think, after the game when the rosters had come out. And he said something like, everybody sleeps in their own bed or whatever he said. And you could see the disappointment. I get that it was a tough decision, not just for the U.S. team and the Finnish team, the Swedish team, but it's tough because there's so many great players from all these countries. But I think this is the best thing to happen to him, because not that he's been given anything in his career. He's one of the most talented players that you're going to see in a very long time. He was dynamite in junior and at the World Junior Championship level, of course. He's not on a very good hockey team. They need to insulate him, not with physical toughness, which they have done before. Guys like Foligno and Corey Perry, they did all that. Oh, we have to protect them. No, you've got to find ways, Kyle Davidson, to fill out the roster with players that will help him. I don't want to see him getting lost in the shuffle in Chicago. Lately, he's showing signs again that he's back to being CB.
Well, they fired the coach. And since they fired the coach, he has 2 goals and 5 assists.
So is that the issue then? Was there something up with him and Luke Richardson?
Since they fired the coach.
Gee.
But we talk about the fresh coach bump. The new coach bump.
Yeah.
And in this case, we're seeing it with the Blues. At least we did for a little while. Mm-hmm. And now I think there is something to be said for it. His chemistry with Ryan Donato is fine. Right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be working out as well otherwise with other players necessarily. I'm not going to call them out. But the fact is he's scoring again, and he scored 7 points in 5 games since the coach was fired. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Make of that what you will.
I'm just throwing out facts, man.
I know you are. That's all we do. It's good
no,
to see him.
No, it's not.
I know.
We do a lot more than that.
I know we do. There was a play he made the other game. He didn't score, but he went through the neutral zone, deked around 2 or 3 players, and then he was in close. It reminded me of the Austin Matthews goal that he scored against Anaheim, where he went top shelf. Oh, sorry, against the Devils, where he went top shelf in close. Bedard lifted the puck up, went off the bar. But the fact is that he's a small guy. It's not like he's a big player. He's mm-hmm. a small player. So fun to watch. So fun to watch. Speaking of, and we'll hit the break after this, and then Molly Walker
quick question.
Will join us.
I'm not done with this one yet. One quick question.
Okay.
Would you have put him on Team Canada for February?
No.
Okay. I just wanted clarification, because I wouldn't either. Yeah.
No.
He's just not quite there. 2 years at the Olympics, I don't think that's going to be a conversation.
Exactly.
But right now, not right now.
Exactly. Last one. Celebrini doing his thing in San Jose. Very good, talented
Isn't he,
player.
Though?
I love the Sharks. I do. And yeah, they're one of the rebuilding teams, and they're moving in different directions, all that type of stuff. And hopefully in a few years, they'll be competitive. I'd love to see that. But you got to look at Macklin Celebrini now as being one of, if not the top contender. I know there's a long way to go for that Rookie of the Year trophy.
Oh, I don't have him as a top contender.
You don't? Okay.
No, Matvei Michkov is a top contender right now.
I said one of the top contenders.
Oh, no, he's number two.
Number two.
You go.
There we go.
Sorry, I misheard you. I apologize. 2 goals.
Is this thing on?
2 goals. Were you talking?
Merry Christmas.
2 goals, 3 assists in the last 3 games.
Yeah.
Really developing some great chemistry with the kid they just got from Colorado. Oh my goodness. Kovalenko. So that seems to be working out nicely. And you're seeing how special this guy is. He's a different player than Bedard. They're different people. But watching him play, there's a little bit of magic here and there all the time.
Yeah.
That even with a team like the Sharks, excellent teams don't get first number one mm-hmm. draft picks. So this is mm-hmm. the way that this works out, right? But watching him play now, I'm very excited for him. I think just losing all those games to injury, going to hurt his numbers overall. Matvei Michkov is producing with the Flyers. He's point per game guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be tough to catch him only because of the gap.
Mm-hmm.
But right now he's number two for sure.
He is some of the stats too to keep in mind. The youngest Shark to ever play an NHL mm-hmm. game. He's on track to be one of the youngest point per game NHL players of all time. The leader in that category, the record belongs to Ted Kennedy. This is a long time ago. Turned 18 in December in his first full season in 1943-44. He had 49 points in 49 games. So the youngest since was Crosby. He turned 18 in August, but Kennedy was the younger one. So if Celebrini keeps it going, he'll be the youngest, third youngest, and the youngest in 19 years. So
that's very impressive. I love everything I hear from Sharks management about this kid too, that
right.
he just eats and breathes the game. Yeah. Everything he does all day long is in a good way. It doesn't sound like he's negatively obsessed, because that can be a little bit dangerous.
Sure.
But the way he works out, his sleep management, mm-hmm. the way he eats, all of it. He schedules proper downtime too and has some fun. All of it is geared towards being a better hockey player the next game and making his team better the next game. And I love that.
And it helps you too, when you're young, to alleviate the pressure that comes with being a young, talented player. I mean, that's the future in San Jose. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that the NHL has changed. I think sports in general has changed, where there's so much now to do with health, and there's so much to have a good group around you to help you, not only physically, but mentally and all this. As you said, him to have some downtime, him to deal with the media, him to work, him to skate, him to spend time with family. It's a lot going on. Sometimes I think it gets lost in my mind at times that these are just kids. They're teenagers and they're in mm-hmm. the NHL, and there's a ton of pressure that comes with that.
But he lives with Patrick Marleau, doesn't he? It's well, either Patrick Marleau or Joe Thornton. He lives with one of them. And I believe it's Patrick Marleau. And that's obviously going to make a world of difference. The Sharks know what they're doing. They know what they're doing with him and Will Smith. With the development there, they do know.
They do. They do. Good for him. And hopefully we're going to see some great results from him in the near future and for his entire career. We'll take a break. We will come back. And Molly Walker of the New York Post will join us. And we will do our best to dissect the issues going on in New York with the Rangers. They have a game against Nashville. I'm going to say this. This is the biggest game of their season tonight. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All right, welcome back, and we are brought to you by Sprott Money. A lot of times when we have guests on, whether it's this program or SiriusXM or when Vic's on as well, we get guests on when teams are doing well, but sometimes we get them on when teams aren't doing well. We'd have Molly on even if the Rangers were doing well. I just want to make that clear as we get going here. Molly Walker joining us, and we'll talk about the Rangers. Molly, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. I know you just got back from practice, so we have to mention this too, the background you have, and we talked about this before. Tell us the story about that, because you shared a new story about where you are.
Oh, it's something crazy. I haven't been at this hotel since I made my first road trip with the Rangers in 2019-20. It was when I was still a general assignment, but trying really, really hard to make my way over to hockey. I kind of became the number three girl in line. And about a week out from the Nashville trip, they were like, "Oh, Larry can't go, Brett can't go, you're up." So I had to book a pretty last minute trip out to Nashville, and Brett actually gave me this hotel as a suggestion. So I didn't even look at it. I just booked it immediately, and it's a really nice hotel. So I haven't been able to get back in here since. So it's kind of full circle for me.
And the rest is history. The Rangers aren't making good history right now. We're going to try to dive into this. You just came from practice. I know the mood is terrible. We'll talk about Kako and Laviolette and Shesterkin and all this in between. But if I were to tell you that the Rangers would be at this point in the season at the beginning of the year, you probably would have said no way.
Well, as somebody who, you know, we do the picks for the season, who do we think is going to win the Stanley Cup and everything. And as somebody who picked the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup, I think it's pretty indicative that I would not have believed
you're not alone.
That they would be.
A lot of people were on board with that. A lot.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It really is. And I don't want to talk about it like it's a funeral yet, because it's December 17th and the season is...
It feels like a funeral.
It does. It's felt like a funeral for 3 weeks. Yeah. It really has. But it's December 17th. There's still so much of the season left, and it is still so salvageable for them. So it's difficult to talk about. But in terms of the spiral that they've been on, it really has been remarkable to watch, just because of how quickly things got out of control, things got out of hand, and how quickly the mood in the room, which has always been one of their strongest points of their team game and their strongest, you know, one of their intangibles that I feel like they've always had in their room, it just has vanished. Yeah. It's just no longer there. So it's been quite a remarkable thing to see unfold as quickly as it has.
Is there division in the room then? Is that a problem, do you think? I know that's a tough question and you can't answer it straight. That's fine. But we're hearing from a bunch of different sources that might be the case.
Yeah, I do think that the room's energy is off for a multitude of reasons. And it started in the summer. Obviously, we know that a lot of the players took issue with Drury circumventing Barclay Goodrow's no trade list in a prearranged deal with the Sharks. And obviously with Trouba, them publicly asserting that they wanted to move on from him and essentially forcing his hand to do something about it, because obviously he didn't want to leave for family reasons. That got out of, that got blown up. That was all made incredibly public, whether it was, you know, whether the players had an issue with how public it was or just the fact that management was looking to move on from their captain, whatever it was, that clearly rubbed the team the wrong way. And then we've got the trade memo that Drury sent out after the end of that 4-game road trip in Western Canada. That, to me, it was incredibly naive for him not to foresee that that was going to come out, that that was going to be leaked.
How can you not?
And exactly. And for him to name Trouba, name the longest tenured player, Chris Kreider, who is a beloved member in that room. It also rubbed the team the wrong way, too. And now we've got Kaapo Kakko. You know, they just as they shipped Jacob Trouba out of he was clearly disgruntled, and I hate using that word because I think it's a word that you should only use when it's true, but it is true. And especially the way Trouba talked about it in his introductory press conference with the Ducks, he was very much so disgruntled. He was honest about how disgruntled he was, telling the media that he spoke to the team, to the leadership about how difficult it was for him to lead. So we've got one disgruntled player shipped out, but now we've got another in Kaapo Kakko, because he's disgruntled after speaking to him this morning. I've never seen, and Kaapo's always took issue with his ice time. He's always wanted more. And whether or not you thought he deserved it or not, that doesn't matter. As a player, he has always been pretty forthcoming about how he wanted more, wanted a bigger role. But he's also been very honest in when he's gotten those opportunities, he hasn't done much with them, and he's been very self-reflective about that too. But in this particular instance, he was very, very open and honest about how he was so surprised that it fell on him in this instance, that he did not feel like he deserved to be the odd man out in the lineup. And I agree with him, honestly. The numbers certainly agree with him. But then he goes as far to say that he feels like it's easy to make a young guy a scapegoat rather than a veteran. So that's another thing that a young player is now coming out and saying, yeah, of course I was the guy that they, you know, it always is him. This is, it was the first scratch in the regular season for him, healthy scratch in the regular season for him, but it's the third healthy scratch in his career with the Rangers. He got scratched twice in game six of the Eastern Conference Final in 2022 and 2024. So this has constantly happened to him in his tenure in New York. So I think it definitely has gotten to a point where he's pretty fed up with it. And that was evident today.
So you have him being, and I'm going to use the word you did, disgruntled. He obviously is, and Trouba was too. We'll get to him and the rest of the team in a second. But looking at the future for Kakko now in New York, I mean, it seems like this marriage is heading towards some sort of divorce, and it seems like it's quickly... Is there going to be a move going forward with
contract?
This? Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that they signed him that to that deal was intentional for both sides. I obviously think Kakko, you know, he wasn't looking for any sort of major pay bump. He wasn't really in line for that after last season. But he wanted to stay as well. So signing his qualifying offer was a pretty easy, you know, get it over with. Good for both sides. It's a movable contract for the Rangers. It locked Kakko in for another year in New York where he's settled. And maybe he could, you know, make something of this what feels like a last ditch opportunity for him to establish himself with the Rangers. But now, I mean, it was the same thing with Trouba. And regardless or not of whether you think that this is the room being incredibly soft, because there's arguments for that to be made too. But everybody's entitled to the way that they feel, and everybody's entitled to, you know, for that to affect them the way that it affects them. And it has clearly been very hard for this Rangers team, for this locker room, to give their all and play for and commit to a team that they feel has spurned them.
And you Trouba can see, felt you that can way. See that on the ice.
Yeah, you could see it on the you ice. Totally it's in do. The body language.
Yeah.
But I think that's, you know, I think that is something that should be highlighted the most because, you know, mm-hmm. and look, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the Rangers are the best team in the league with the way that they're constructed and everything like that. But they had the intangible right. last season. They right. were a team of destiny
True.
Last season. They figured out every issue, every problem, every obstacle that was put in front of them last season. And that's now gone. And that's, you know, something that has been affected by the outside noise for sure. But it is remarkable that, you know, it was like a house of cards yeah. almost.
Yeah.
Just you take out that one intangible, that one, you know, that togetherness, that just, you know, it's not something you can put into words. Mm-hmm. You take that out. Crumble. But yeah. they also, you know, as a team, as players, they also folded under the pressure, under, you know, the outside noise as well. So there is plenty of blame to go around for this Rangers situation, I think.
Okay, jumping on that then, I'm going to ask you an incredibly general and unfair question for which I will Great. Apologize ahead of time.
Excellent.
Molly, how do you fix it?
I know. Well, right? I know, right? Well, first and foremost, General Manager Chris Jurie needs to get into that room and address the team.
Okay.
I think that is, I know that he's had individual meetings mm-hmm. and you know, I'm not going to stand here and say that he hasn't spoken to the team at all because that's not true, but I don't think that he's actually stood before the entire room and spoken. And I think that that is something that needs to happen because he's also played a role in this entire thing. And again, you know, you want to call the player soft for it, sure. But Jurie's actions has fed into the fire, has piled on to this situation that has yep. now become the Rangers locker room. And I think the first thing that you need to do is everybody needs to get on the same page.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that that is something that hasn't happened yet. I know the team, they had a players only meeting after the Kings game. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to figure it out. But I also think that management has had their hand in this, and they need to be a part of this too. And it's just something that the whole organization just needs to get on the same page, because it just feels every day, it just feels like it's something else, something else to pile on to the mess that this has become.
I'm picturing him going into the room and standing in front of all those players and thinking that takes a lot of guts for him to do that.
Of course it does.
Do yeah, you think? Well, so what? Too bad,
exactly.
so sad. You're
and
the
that's
GM
my point.
Of the team.
And that's
He's
the
also
point.
A former player.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
what I was going to say, too. It's not like
a former captain.
Familiar territory
yeah.
Yeah. to him.
Yeah. I just am shocked.
Is it too late? Is it too late to do this? Sorry,
I don't.
Like, I mean, like, yeah. would it be just as effective now as, say, it would have been 2 weeks ago or something like that?
No, probably okay. not. Probably if this was done earlier, a lot of things could have been avoided, for sure.
Yep.
Especially, I mean, before he elicited trade partners the way that he did,
yep.
there should have been conversations before then. You know, it was, you know, there were a lot of reports after that memo went out that he then went into damage control
right.
and he started having meetings, you know, like that's not how to do it. That's mm-hmm. not how it's not ideal for sure. I've said it at the start. It's still salvageable. Everything is still salvageable.
I agree
December
with you.
7. Yeah. It is December 17th. They've got over yeah. 50 games left or something yeah. like that. I don't think that this ship has sailed. But it's, I only say that because of the timeline.
Right.
I'm not saying that because I'm getting an indication from the room that it's on the rise, because it is. They're still down in the trenches. But my understanding and talking to players, too, is that there's a belief that it's not something that necessarily needs to be fixed inside the room,
okay.
but something that they need to figure out for themselves on the ice. Because the only thing that is going to talk so much louder than all the noise yeah, that this team has is what they bring to the ice.
Exactly.
they win 4 of 5, it's going to be a very different narrative in the next couple of weeks. I just wonder if they lose
to another 32nd place team.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's,
if they lose tonight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That they lose tonight. It's just another thing to add to the pile, because it's just been one after the other, but it starts with one win.
Yep.
But where they're losing it is they're not following it up. And I think that that is a testament to their drive right now.
We haven't talked about get up for these games. Is Peter Laviolette in danger of losing his job?
I don't think so.
You don't?
I don't think so. Not at all. Because if you think about it from the perspective of ownership and management, this core is onto the third coach.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, you got to look inward. Mm-hmm. At some point, you got to look at the product on the ice. And I also know that Laviolette is incredibly well respected within the walls of Madison Square Garden.
Right.
And just there, you know, he is a veteran coach. I mean, today he got asked point blank if he was worried about his job. He took it like a pro. He didn't even blink. I was like, that's how you handle it. You know, he didn't even flinch. That's not something I can talk about. I can control. Not, you know, he was like, my main concern is winning a hockey game tonight. You know, like, you don't focus on the things that you can't control.
Nope.
But he also seemed, this is not his first rodeo, far from it. And that came out, and I was happy to see that come out, because obviously you want a guy. And that's if one thing about Peter Laviolette, he's always believed in what he says,
right,
and what he thinks. He says it with his whole chest, everything that he says. So, so that's, I think it was, you hear that question asked and you kind of hold your breath a little bit to wonder what the reaction is going to be, how he's going to take that.
Yeah.
He's gotten that question asked several times in history. He knew exactly what he wanted to say. Didn't even blink.
It's on page 10 of his playbook. That's what
literally,
it is.
Literally, yeah.
He's like, right. How to answer that question. We've spent a lot of time with the negatives with the Rangers. I'm with you with this too. There is time left in the season. If this was 2 months from now, then it would be even more of a disaster. But there is some time left.
They
some
also good, built that cushion too, though. Let's not forget that at the beginning of the season,
5-1. Yeah, right. They're still over 500.
Yeah.
That they could hit 500 tonight.
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, Vic, because I've always said this, Molly, about October. You can't win a playoff spot in October, but you can get behind the eight ball, you can lose one. So you got to bank these points, because who knows what's going to happen. The Rangers are living proof of that. So a lot of negative with the team. Your career has been amazing. And you talked about me back in this hotel. Sam Rosen.
Yeah.
You had absolutely a tremendous conversation with him. First of all,
legend of the game.
Yeah, how honored were you to do that? And secondly, just tell us a bit about him, because I remember I did a show a few years back and I had him on and I was texting with him and he was texting me. He didn't have to text me at all. I got his number and I thought there's no chance he knows who I am.
Yeah.
But he took the time out of his day and that's always stuck with me.
He couldn't big time anybody if he tried. even if he tried.
Yeah.
You talk about what an honor it is. I said this in the interview with him, that my mom has always said that I have been listening to Sam Rosen since I was in her belly. and I think that is so true for so many Ranger fans.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For so many people that have been around hockey for as long as he's been around, that he has been the voice of the Rangers through generations. It was all my pitch. I came up with the whole thing of doing a sit down interview with him and then providing a written feature where I talk to as many people as I possibly can about him and his career. Specifically, I really wanted to get to Esposito, JD, and Micheletti, which I could have done the entire feature on Esposito's interview alone, let me tell you.
Right.
Oh my God.
He's an entertaining
Yeah. The story, some of them were not fit for print. You know, like he just had the love that everybody speaks about Sam with is so evident. So, I mean, I was really proud of myself for coming up with the idea. And obviously we had to push it back a little bit because things just started hitting the fan. Right. And, you know, that wasn't a good time for for Sam's future to be coming out, but we picked a good day, nothing happened, and it ended up being a very welcomed break, I think, for Ranger fans as well, to get to see something happy and see something that they can feel good about. So it was awesome to do that. And I mean, my favorite part of writing this was hearing all the details of the way that the rest of the National Hockey League is honoring Sam Rosen. Mm-hmm. Everyone from the training, from people on the training staff, players,
even the mascots,
management,
even the mascots,
management, executives, stat people, officials, from all different walks of the hockey life. And I felt like that really, because the whole time I was writing this and thinking about it, I just hear my mom in my ear, you know, you can't bring up Sam Rosen retiring without her bawling her eyes out. And I feel like a lot of fans feel that way. So I tried to equate the way that the rest of the NHL is clearly feeling about this beloved figure having his final farewell tour to the way that the fans feel it. And it's equal. The just as much as the fans are savoring every last bit of Sam Rosen, the rest of the National Hockey League as well, and everybody from top to bottom, everybody is lining up to say their congratulations, to wish their well wishes. The Devils training staff gets him an engraved bottle of wine. Keith Jones presents him with an old brick from the Spectrum.
Amazing.
All over the board. I just thought that was a really great way to present it, that it's not just the fans, it's not just the Rangers, it is the entire National Hockey League, and the evidence is there to support it.
Good for you to make that pitch.
That was a good call.
It was great. I mean, I adore him as a friend as well. He's become one of my favorite
people.
I saw the embrace at the end,
and I looked at that, and the camera shot was of his face, and he was hugging you. I thought, there's a ton of emotion. It's just not someone in the media talking to another member of the media. This is a family thing here.
Absolutely. Yeah. He has become a dear friend of mine. I mean, my mom always just, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was sitting at dinner with, you know, Dave Maloney and Sam Rosen. My mom's like, what? You know, my mom's like, how did this, you know, like, how did I, she's like patting herself on the back. She's like, if I couldn't do it, at least I gave birth to someone that did, you
Good
know?
Job,
so,
Mama.
It was very, very special. I was so honored to be able to do it. And we had a lot of fun. He thanked me today in the visiting locker room after morning skate. So we shared another embrace. There's been a lot of hugging, a lot of wiping of tears. It's emotional. You can't imagine the New York Rangers without Sam Rosen. And then that's where we're headed. So it is sad, but all good things must come to an end. And I think he's going out on the highest of possible notes.
Well said. Well said. 77 seconds. You ready for this, Molly?
Ready.
All right, here we go. So this is part of the show where we address our guest, and he has 77 seconds to answer 7 questions, some hockey, some non-hockey, and they have no choice. So here we go.
It's fun.
I know, it's fun.
Well, it's supposed to be anyway.
It is. Favorite building for you away from MSG?
Bell Center.
Oh,
that was quick. That was quick.
Oh, without hesitation.
Okay.
And anybody who knows me watching this knew that was my answer as well. Okay. I say it all the time.
I got the nastier question next.
Oh, boy.
Not named Peter Laviolette. Coach in the NHL right now who you think might be on the hot seat?
Ooh. I was thinking Lalonde.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lalonde in Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's probably my choice.
That was the least fun question. Ryan, continue.
Yeah. Your current league MVP.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You can always come back to it too. You can always call a friend.
No,
50,
you can't 50.
Phone a friend.
Ryan,
can I phone a friend?
Yes.
I, if I'm being honest, I have been so wrapped up in the Rangers
Makes sense.
It's been really hard for me to watch elsewhere. But hasn't Matthews was hurt for a bit?
Yeah.
Right? But hasn't he been really good since he's been back?
He's been decent. All right. McKinnon's been great. See, Kucherov.
I always go with McKinnon though. I didn't want to be basic, but I'll go with McKinnon.
He has 50 points, so it's not too basic.
Yeah, I'll go with McKinnon. I mean, he is one of my favorite players to watch, man. He is just like mad at the world when he plays.
Oh yeah, he is.
He's an angry truck.
Yep. Pissed at the puck.
Yeah.
It's great.
Best team in the East.
Oh man.
Today. Best team in the East today.
It's gotta be Florida.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean I'm still in awe of the way that Florida plays and the product that they put on the ice every night is just amazing.
I've said this with them. I think they're the toughest team to play against.
They are 100%. And seeing it up close in the conference final, man, mm-hmm. I mean, it's remarkable that the Rangers took a lead in that series because not once did it ever feel like they were in control of that series.
So at the beginning of the show, you had the Rangers winning the cup. You had that in the preseason, correct? So put that aside. Who wins the cup?
My knee-jerk reaction is to say Vegas again, mm-hmm. but I feel like I've been waiting for Dallas. Okay. Like I've just two been good choices. Waiting for them. You know, I feel like they've been in the mix for a few years now and just waiting to take that leap. And they're such an interesting team, the way that they're constructed too. It's a very solid team. And I think that they could be fun too.
They're always lurking, I find.
Yeah. They've been there. They're in the mix. They really are, but they just haven't been able to take that next.
They have to pull.
Yeah.
We know you're a bit of a fashion person. You appreciate fashion. So my question to you, your favorite steel fashion buy of all time. Do you have
one? Oh, my goodness.
Or what?
Fashion steel.
I didn't come up with
like
that. She came up with that question.
Something that I've purchased?
Yeah, an outfit goodness, I'm so happy I bought that. That just made my week.
All right, so I think I bought it for myself. My Valentine's Day gift to myself.
Good for you. Good for you.
My Valentine's Day. If nobody's going to do it for me, I'll do it myself. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I bought myself a red Fendi baguette that on the inside, it's like one of a kind. It has this really cute girly print with like lipsticks on it and like flowers. It's just like very vintage looking. And it's bright red and it's very out there. I'm usually a neutral tone girl, but I am obsessed with that bag. It's my legit baby. I love it.
You rock it to sleep. It's
legit my favorite. It's my favorite purchase as of late, for sure.
See, that's interesting.
Share that with everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody follows me on TikTok, you might have seen it already.
There
it's
you go.
Literally.
The only baguette I never knew of was on a sandwich.
Was it French
Molly.
Baguette?
Yeah. So. Okay.
But you learn something new every day. There's Fendi baguettes too.
Speaking of food, best thing that you've eaten in New York in the past year?
Ooh, in New York. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many different routes to go with that.
Or what's one specific place that you would tell people you have to, if you're in New York, this is the place you have to go to?
That we can afford.
Takes off a huge chunk of the list.
Yeah.
There's a place called Italian Place, like pizza. Ruby Rosa is one of my favorite places in the city. The pizza, the hot honey pepperoni jalapeno pizza is absolutely outrageous. I went there when I first moved in 3 years ago now almost. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to get a reservation, but I went on a date there once where we put our names down first, then went and got a drink nearby, waited like the hour 15, and then we got a table. So
amazing.
That's the way to do it.
Ruby Rosa?
Yeah.
Ruby Rosa.
Ruby Rosa.
So the reason why you're still in New York is because of that, not because of the Rangers, right? No, I'm kidding.
I'm in New York because it's the greatest city in the world.
Exactly. No, it's fantastic.
It's a pretty good city.
Yeah.
Molly, this has been great. We're out of time. We'd love to do this again. And if we do, or when we do, hopefully the Rangers will be in a better position. I think they will be. There's still time left in this campaign. So certainly
we should make a point of that. Seriously.
Yeah, we should.
If they turn things around, then we can have, because this is one of the most emotional interviews we've had with anybody.
Really?
About a hockey
oh, yeah.
team. But
yeah.
it's true because Listen, of everything that's going on. There's so many layers
say,
to it, right?
It's been
there's
real.
So
I mean,
much.
especially like a lot of us on the beat, we've been around for the last 3 or 4 years. You know,
right.
So we've seen all the success, all the good times, and it's been sad. It has been sad to have a front row seat to what has happened.
So we're going to have you back when things are happier, month and a half, 2 months from now, and then we're going to have a very different conversation. How's that?
Excellent. Sounds like a plan. Book it.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.